In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Blessed feast. Today is a glorious feast. Every Sunday, as I always say, is the resurrection of our Lord. For the ancient Christians and for Orthodox Christians, Easter, the celebration of death, the death of death. No more fear of death, not because of our own righteousness, the love of God for the world. That's the apostles celebrated. That's the apostles. That was their joy. St. Luke, who we celebrate today, the beloved physician, that was his joy. His whole life changed when he found the living God, Jesus Christ. So every Saturday night and Sunday is the Lord is risen. Christ is risen, and we can be risen too. And how beautiful the ancient tradition to have the baptismal liturgy, because these three servants of God are now renewed and live in the resurrection of Christ. They've been given a great blessing. The greatest blessing, they've been renewed, that death no longer has any sting, has no hold on these newly illumined servants of God. They wear the white robe. Jansen, who took the beautiful name, who is no longer, Jansen's dead. And now the servant of God, Artemis. Artemis is one of the 70 disciples, along with St. Luke, who we celebrate today. And no more Jackson, now the servant of God, John, took the name St. John Chrysostom, the great orator and preacher of the Holy Faith. And of course, the child of God, Christopher, who is named after the great martyr, Christopher, who many of us should know about. And very interesting, they're being baptized, you know, as young men. Baby Christopher baptized as a baby. Doesn't make sense, doesn't it? I mean, he doesn't have any sins yet. That's all modern thinking. No one thought that way until like the past few hundred years, so you know. Infant baptism was the norm in all of Christianity. Really, I mean, Luther, they all believed in infant baptism at the beginning. So really, for 1,500 years, no one questioned this. In the book of Acts, you know, when Peter's in prison and there's a jailbreak and the jailer's about to kill himself because they've escaped. He says, no, don't do it. We're here. He can't believe they stayed. They have this beautiful conversation. What shall I do to be saved? Be baptized. And it says in Greek very clearly, he and his whole family were baptized. Men, women, children. It's not like when you reach a certain age, like you get some. The older they get, the older you get, the less you know, if you're honest. It's not about mastery. Everything in the modern world becomes about this brain, the pea brain. No. The center of a human being is the soul, the heart. And so it doesn't matter if you're a 48-year-old baby or I baptized 95-year-old people, the same renewal takes place. We don't wait to see how understand antibiotics work. We take them. We trust the doctor. Know they work and they have results. We know from millions, hundreds of millions of baptisms in 2,000 years in the Orthodox Church that this way of Christ heals and renews and prepares and opens paradise to people. And so we humbly follow the will of our Lord. Baptized whether we're a child. I was baptized in a freezing cold river 20 years ago in the Orthodox Church. Whenever the Lord calls us. Yes, little Christopher. He's gonna be raised. He's gonna be raised in holiness. He has a priest and a priest's wife as his godparents. He has his pious parents, his grandparents, all Orthodox Christians, his friends. They're gonna raise him and nurture him in this bosom of the church. So awesome. So he can be a saint, God willing. And then of course he'll have an active decision at a certain age to make it his own completely. You know, when people say, wait till they get older, let them decide for themselves. You don't plant a garden and plant, you know, good flowers and weeds and go, well, I don't want to pick those weeds because let's just see what the garden decides. Right? But you pluck the weeds, you pluck the evil, you pluck the wrong things so that the good fruit can blossom. So the Christian virtues can blossom. This idea, this modern nonsense of, no, let them choose them themselves. Let them fall into their passions. Let them think they know something when they're 8, 9, and 10 and just out of an encyclopedia pick their religion. What a terrible idea. How about live holy lives, parents, so your kids, from the second they're in the cradle, they look at you, they see you praying in front of your icons, they see you confessing, they see your tears, they see your love, they see you helping the homeless, they see you in church, they see your modesty, your love, and they want to be just like you. And they will follow you. Teach them the way, and they will not go away from this path, the scriptures say. It's a beautiful life. And for Jackson, the newly illumined John, and for Artemis, they were like me. You know, everyone gets baptized as an adult goes, I wish it had happened earlier. Don't we all? Don't we all? But the Lord knew when it was time. He lets you taste the fruit of life without Him. He lets you taste life without Jesus Christ in the church is a living hell. And sometimes the Lord lets us go to taste that without Him, life truly has no meaning. It's dead. It's deathless. And so we run to the church. Literally, we run to the church. What a beautiful age to become Orthodox Christians for both of you. You have your whole life ahead of you. And now every decision you make as young men Your future, the marriage, monasticism, whatever it is going to all be, the priority is Christ, the living God. That's going to inform everything. Who you marry, what you do, it'll make for a beautiful life if we stay close to Christ. Nothing's guaranteed now, by the way. It's not like you're baptized, once saved, and now you're in the club. No, not at all. To whom much is given, much is required. You are called to be a saint, nothing less. Called to be a person to overcome your addictions, overcome your passions. A person of love, a light to this crazy broken world. Missionary work is not just done by priests. It's done by repentant Christians. People in your workplace, your friends, your family, those visiting here today, they see something different in you. You're not afraid to die. You're not afraid. We're careful. We wash our hands, do things. We're not afraid of coronavirus. We're not afraid of cancer. We're not afraid of anything. We don't like those things. But we're all going to die, brothers and sisters. What we're afraid of is not really living. As I said last night, a holy bishop said, we don't want to eke out 5, 10, 20 more years. Even 100 years is not enough for us. We want eternity. We demand eternal life, and the Lord in His graciousness gives it to us. But our eyes have to be set on eternity, brothers and sisters. And too often our eyes are set on this fallen world. Like a dog, eat, sleep, poop, repeat. We who are called to be those sons of Adam and daughters of Eve, to be crowned again, to be saints. And what a saint means is different than you might think in the Orthodox Church. These saints, St. Luke, who we celebrate today as an example, his icon's in the middle, he was the beloved physician. So let's look at him and say, as an icon for these newly baptized, for all of us to imitate the saints. We have four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's how big he is. He's one of the four Gospel writers. He was born, the father's saying, Antioch, with the Antiochian Church, the ancient see of Antioch. He was a pagan parents, but he sought wisdom. He wanted wisdom at all costs. Science, mathematics, painting, art. He spoke, of course, perfect, Aramaic, Hebrew, Greek. I mean, he was an amazing person of learning. He was seeking God through learning. Many of us do the same thing. I'll read a lot of books. I'll get my PhD. You can still be empty and still be a porn addict and still be angry and still be full of pride. Who cares if you read a lot of books? In the Eastern Church, Orthodox Church, a theologian is a person who has prayer and who has purified their sins and lives like the saints. They can be illiterate and be a theologian. In the West, you can be a snoob, a snotty, rude person, read a lot of books, have a PhD, and you're a theologian. No. Theologian. Theos means God. Logos means a word. A theologian is someone who can give a word about God, not because they've read about Him, because they know Him and they're intimately linked with Him. And that can be an illiterate grandma, a child, an adult, anybody, but just this, the worshiping, the things in this world won't get you there. Many of us have come to Christ after seeking Him in every other kind of religion or in science and math, and there's an end. Those things are good. St. Luke was the same, and he was blessed to be in Jerusalem to see the face of our dear Christ. He beheld the face of the Son of God. He heard His teaching, and his whole life changed. He put away. He was a doctor. He was a painter. He had a great worldly life. He put it all away to follow the way, the ancient way of Christ. How many of us, when we're intoxicated by the love of Christ for a moment, and then, it's a small part of our life. Our job is the most important. Even your marriage isn't the most important. Family is forever. People, they can idol the family. We can be no kind of family unless we have Christ first. We don't worship the family. We worship Christ, the living God. Then we can be members of a holy family. Once he had found Christ and was intoxicated with his love, he was never the same. He used his skills for the church, but his priority was clear, and ours must be clear. Then he followed St. Paul. He became a disciple of the incredible St. Paul. Much maligned, but he is the greatest apostle, hands down, Peter and Paul. In the Orthodox Church, we say the apostle. We don't go, which one? We know it means Paul. The greatest of all the apostles, and his greatest disciple was St. Luke, who traveled with him, who nourished him. And St. Paul taught him how to be a disciple, how to be an apostle. We know that these icons are not idols, they're ancient tradition. And in fact, St. Luke was the first person to paint icons. In fact, we know at least three of the Mother of God, the Virgin Mary, that he painted with the Christ child, and that's still in existence to this day. One in one of our monasteries in Sayednaya in Syria. Another one on Mount Athos, Constantinople. Amazing! As a Protestant, you go, these are idols, you can't have these. Wrong. Wrong. Just don't know history. Right? Just it's a plain lack of knowledge of history. And in fact, he made the first icon of the Mother of God, and she blessed it. And she said, let the grace of my Son, the Son who was born of me, let it be blessed and flow from this holy image. Amazing. Right? Oil blesses people when they're sick. We bless, you know, bread and wine will become the body and blood of Christ in the Holy Eucharist. I am the bread of life. You eat this will live forever. In the same way, holy icons, windows, portals to heaven become powerful tools of healing. Weird to us as modern people, but not to the ancient church, and it shouldn't be to Orthodox Christians. He uses his physician skills to heal, but mostly prayer. And he went around and he preached the good news that Christ is risen. He's established this church. The gates of hell will never prevail against it, and they never did through all the persecution. He was there with St. Peter and Paul on the day of their martyrdom on June 29th, and that in the ancient church. And he was there, and then he went back to travel through Italy, Dalmatia, Macedonia, all the area to preach the gospel. He was made the bishop, and everywhere he went, he preached the living Christ, ordaining priests like a bishop, ordaining deacons, teaching the faith under great threat of death and torture, brothers and sisters. You see what's rising now in the world, this, especially in America. You know, we're not political, but you know, anybody who knows about communism and Bolshevik and all kinds, you can see the rise of, let's just share everything. Yeah, we can be communist. Socialism is so cool. Young kids don't know where socialism leads. It leads to the gulag. It leads to our people from the old countries, they can smell communism. And so for us, before being Republican, Democrat, is being a Christian. And of course, being an Orthodox Christian informs that. You know, marriage is a man and a woman. You know, abortion is murder and killing babies. The fundamental building block of the world and every civilization before Christian history is a man and a woman. They get married, they have children, they work hard, or they pray, they worship God, and they die. That's what gives life meaning. And our modern society almost want nothing to do with those basic building blocks of society. So we're not going to stand and watch society be torn apart. Why? Not because we're ideologues. No. Because we love Jesus Christ. We love the life and the church has given us. We want it for our kids and our grandchildren and for our country. But you know what? If people don't like it, we don't care. We love them, right? I care more about their souls than their feelings. I will happily stand up for these beliefs even into prison. Because St. Paul was in prison. St. Peter was in prison. St. Luke was in prison for the sake of the truth. For a long time in America, it's been like, oh yeah, everyone can just believe what you want to believe, and there's no consequence. It's actually quite beautiful and terrifying to see that there might be a consequence. You want to be a Supreme Court justice? You're an amazing woman, Christian woman, with 7 kids, and as smart as a whip, and you might not be able to do it because you're a Christian. Wow. Things have changed in our country. No matter to us whether she is or not. My point is simply this. We are going to be Christians no matter what. We're going to live not in a preachy, annoying, judgmental way. We're going to show the light of Christ. We're going to be humble in a world of pride, pure in a world of pornography and disgustingness, sharing in a world of greed, unafraid of death in a world that's terrified of sickness and death more than ever. Because who cares if we die? We're ready to be with Christ. We know Him. He's intimate with us. We're one with Him. That's the next step for you newly baptized and for all of us. It can't remain a potential. Through your baptism, the power, Jesus Christ says in the Gospel of St. John, rivers of living water shall flow forth in your belly. What did he mean by that? Everlasting life, everlasting joy. It's easy to be joyful when everything is great and swell, isn't it? But how about when there's suffering? How about when you have cancer? How about when someone near to you dies? How about when you're approaching death? How about when you get fired? All these things. Is God not present in these things? The early Christians knew that He would maybe be more present in those things. And glory be to God for everything. And they glorified Him in their sufferings. And you know what? They had, from the outside perspective, pretty miserable lives. Being persecuted, hiding, running around, compared to us in a nice house, the vacation, everything. Who was happier? They were happier. Not happy, joyful. Because, and even in this world, not when they die, they were joyful because they were freed from a life of selfishness, a life of sin, a life of self-focus. And they had been delivered from their fear of death. And brothers and sisters, only when you meet Christ in deep prayer, in the Jesus prayer, in the quietness of your room, in front of your icons, when you come and you receive, the living God is coming into you for the first time today. John and Artemis and all of us coming into us. The living God who's deathless. And once He's in us, if God is with us, who can be against us? How do we walk out of here like everybody else? How do we walk out of here afraid and only if we're not tending to Christ? May God forgive us. And He always does. He loves us so much. Christ is always with us. He seeks us at every moment. And after baptism, the grace of God works from the inside out. There's no reason why we can't all be saints. Doesn't mean we lower the bar of what a saint is and call everyone a saint. Absolutely not. We acknowledge we're not. We acknowledge that, what did St. Luke do? He decided great talents, great skills, could have a nice home, a villa. Oh, none of that mattered because he was intoxicated with the love of Christ and sharing that joy, and his example changed the world. He baptized hundreds, thousands. And finally, because he was preaching Christ in Thebes, you know what happened? They came and said, deny Christ and we'll save your whole life. 84 years old. How can I deny my Christ? We'll kill you. And then I'll go be with him. As St. Ignatius says, grind me up so I can be like wheat for the Lord. Kill me so I can begin to truly live. This is why I became an Orthodox Christian. It's not of this world. And even in this world, it gives other earthly joy that no gulag, no stub toe, no cancer, no job firing, no deprivation can take from us. Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ except for our laziness and our worldliness and our focus in this world. They tortured St. Luke horribly. They flayed his skin piece by piece, the knife. After they cut all of his skin off, they hung him. They crucified him on an olive tree. And you know what happened? The Christians came to pray there, miraculous healings all the time. They took his relics and put it into a sarcophagus, kind of shaped like this. And holy myrrh would stream from it, healing all those who would come. And to this day, we have the relics, the miracle-working relics, the remains of St. Luke as a testament to the healing of God. So my prayer today for all of us is every minute is a new beginning in the spiritual life. We've all fallen so short of the glory of God, but we can't change the past. The question is, what are we going to do with the time left given to us? I'm so proud of the newly illumined John, the newly illumined Artemis, the newly illumined child of God, Christopher, who's a fruit of Andrew and Mary doing things right. So sad to see people that say they want to get married. They marry someone outside of Christianity. They marry someone outside. Because what's that show? Something is more important than Jesus Christ. Nothing is more important than Jesus Christ. St. Paul says, I wish all were like myself, single, like monastic, give their whole life. But if we're going to be married, we better sure as heck pick someone who's better than us, loves Jesus Christ more, loves the church more, who's going to make us be a holy wife, holy. It's important. And if not, we're being worldly and you're in for a world of pain. And I was praying for Andrew. Andrew's a very unique guy. He's one of my favorite people. I wish he wasn't here to hear this. Somebody's got to keep him humble, for God's sake. Everyone's too nice to Andrew Stallman, right? Guys at work, don't be so nice to him. You have my blessing. But we're nice to him because we really love him. And he's a remarkable individual. And you know what? I was worried that he would marry someone who was not his equal. And that sounds bad. I kind of hoped he would become a monk for a while because I knew that Christ never let him down. And all the monasteries, they wanted him, Mount Athos and Serbia, we were there. We prayed and prayed, and really God is so good. When a person doesn't settle for somebody else, they pray, God sent him truly someone better. Really better. And they really fit each other well. I thought, Andrew's funny, he does all this kind of funny stuff, right? Last night, middle of the night, I know where you were last night. A lot of wives wouldn't be down with that, helping someone, and she was supporting you through all that. It made my heart rejoice. So we come to love Mary even more than you. And really become a part of our hearts. And now, the fruit of their obedience. The fruit of their living the traditional Christian lives. Saving their purity and their virginity for each other. And come together and look at the fruit. This beautiful child. Child of God, Christopher. The Christ. Christophoros in Greek. The Christ bearer. And may he bear Christ. May he be a holy one. May he be a fruit of the sacrifice and diligence of his parents. And may they live a holy life as well. May all of us renew our faith in this baptism. If you're not baptized, forgive my bold Orthodox Christian, you should be. Forgive my boldness. We have catechism class, a number of things. If you want to be an Orthodox Christian, see myself, Father Paul, you should be. And if you're already an Orthodox Christian, let's wake up to our true calling. Let's say you have this white robe like these guys. Guess what? You probably made it dirty. We all have. Through sin. All of our sins. What do? We come to the second baptism of tears, confession. The mystery of holy confession, it constantly makes this garment white again. So confess often, be close to God, and God loves to forgive us. In Psalm 50, wash me, and I shall be made whiter than snow. May the Lord make all of our souls bright. May he strengthen the newly illumined servants of God. May you burn like bright candles in this dark world. May people see your life and want to be Christians and live in eternity with Christ. May we all begin. Every minute's a new beginning to live for Christ and to put him above all. As St. Herman of Alaska says, from this day, from this hour, from this minute, let us strive to love Christ above all. and keep His holy commandments. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed feast.